This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
23 on a Monday night. No, I'm not talking about Michael Jordan. 23 scores between runs and goals. The Rockies, by the way. Yeah. 14. And the Colorado Avalanche with 9. Now that's a fun night. That's a fun night of sports. Rockies get us one step closer. Also, Joker, the forgotten candidate in the MVP race. Greg Penner had a lot to say. Is Greg Penner the GM now? Sure acted like it. Sure sounded like it. Very fascinating stuff to get to. Gonna have a lot of fun. Controversy in the NBA again. Whole show starts now.
To score to give the Rockies a 2-1 lead.
This ball's well hit, deep right field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long.
A second deck shot for Troy Johnston, his first home run of the year, and the Rockies lead it 4-1 in Toronto. Runner on second, 3-2 count the pitch.
Fulford up the middle, base hit around third. Here comes back, and the Rockies will have a 5-1 lead. Broxton Fulford coming through. How do you like that running game now? That's lobbed out to shallow right. Barger close it. Can't get there. It's fair. Two runs have scored. Castro into second with a double. Make it 7-1, Colorado.
Line drive left center. Trouble cut off on the track, but two more runs are in. Tovar with a two-run double. It's all Rockies right now, leading 9-1.
This ball's lined to left center field by Hunter Goodman. And Doyle's going to come around for the 10th run, and it's going to be back-to-back doubles. First RBI of the season for Hunter.
First pitch to Tovar is hit high and deep right center. That ball has got a chance, and it is off the fence. Goodman will score. Castro stops at third. RBI double for Tovar to make it 11-1 for the Rockies. Lined to right center, down for a base hit, and that will plate a pair. That puts the Rockies up 13-1.
And this is lofted to deep left field, and Fulford is hit it out.
Everybody was scoring last night. Everybody. Wow, the Rockies beat Toronto 14-5. The curse of Michael Kirkpatrick, the reverse curse, paid off. You know what you must do. From now on, Michael Kirkpatrick, everybody was scoring in this game to the point where Toronto waved the white flag and threw out their catcher, Tyler Heineman, to throw a couple of pitches at the top of the eighth, and all hell broke loose even more for the Rockies. I want to get into the pitching situation for Colorado, too. It's, I know Tanner mentioned this, but certainly caught this last night as well. I mean, you've got Sugano pitching for a little over four innings. You had Hill in the middle, and then Chase Dolander pitched four innings. You essentially had two starting pitchers get that kind of work. That is interesting to me. Chase Dolander didn't have a great showing, but Sugano did. Sugano absolutely did.
He's my guy.
And he's your guy? Sugano? Is it Sugano? Sugano? Yeah, I'm saying it right.
I don't know. I just picked him because I think he's the oldest Rocky.
He was good. He was solid. And the Rockies win 14-5. They get their first win of the season. 1-3, getting it in an unlikely place. That's, you know, it's early in the season, but that's Toronto's first loss. And I'll tell you, that was a magical sixth inning. Troy Johnston got things started with a home run. A two-run home run for him? I mean, that was awesome. Our my guy, Rumfield, has been pretty damn good. He had a couple. He's been smoking hot. And we'll take it, Mike. TJ Rumfield had three hits last night. I'm liking my pick. I'm liking my pick very much so. But, you know, honestly, the question is, Mike, did they use them all up too early? Like, save some of those runs. There for a while, though, when Chase Dolander was up, it was like, it's a good thing that Tyler Heineman, did come in that eighth to give the Rockies a few insurance runs, because Toronto, there was a part of me, Mike, that's like, they're not gonna go up. They're not gonna score 14 runs, and somehow Toronto's gonna go off in the eighth and the ninth inning to make this a game. Are they? I mean,
we've seen it before.
We've seen it before. Toronto had three runs in the eighth and then one in the ninth, but not enough to really put a scare in. But Mike, we're under 30. The Dirty 30 quest has officially hit. We're in the 20s now. You can't go back. We are officially in the 20s. We need 29 wins before Tanner Schwint and I can shave our face and cut our hair. And that's, of course, the most important part. I think this is a much better team. I do. I don't think this team's going to score 14 runs. But, Michael, sometimes that can be such a positive boost, a confidence booster for your team. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, man. I got nothing. You and I were sitting in the lobby before I took off yesterday, and I just looked at you and I said, I have no rhyme or reason why I feel this way, but I really feel like the Rockies are going to win. I feel like they're going to beat teams that they're not supposed to beat. They might just be a pesky team that doesn't know that they're supposed to lose to Toronto in Toronto.
Yeah, and Tanner did not have the faith of the hole.
No, he didn't. He's back in, and that's good. It's good. He's very cynical, but you gotta feel for him, though, Mike. He's a diehard Rockies fan. Diehard.
I do.
At the end of the day, my miserable time ended in 2003. You know, I was in high school when my misery ended, when the Nuggets drafted Carmelo Anthony, and then they were a regular fixture in the NBA playoffs, save for a couple of tough ones with Brian Shaw a couple of years there, and then Michael Malone growing with this team. But my misery was when I was a teenager. I don't know if that makes it harder or worse or whatever, but Tanner's really, he had the one, you know, World Series. You go to the World Series, Tanner was probably in diapers at that point. So he didn't really get to enjoy everything that came with Rocktober. So all the poor guy has known is misery. So when he comes out and says, I'm over it, they lost three to the Marlins, I'm over it, it's hard to blame him. Because he's stuck with it a lot longer than most people have.
I mean, I wouldn't be over it. I'm one of those. I'm going to stay on board.
With the Broncos, but that's about it. Like, you call Washington what they are when they're having struggles. You call the Avalanche what they are when they're having struggles. But with the Broncos, you're like, oh, 0-12? We'll win the next few. We don't want a good draft pick. We're going to go ahead and win meaningless football games. You're that guy.
When I'm really into something, I'm loyal to it. I was with the Washington Huskies when they went 0-12.
You can be loyal. And this is what a part of what you joining my show has all been about, really, the underlying theme, is trying to educate you. You can be loyal to your team.
I'm the smartest person in the room.
You can also, yeah, there's nobody else in that room with you except for Susan and Cheryl.
And you're the smartest and dumbest person in your room.
I am definitely the smartest person in the building. There's zero question about that. But you got Susan and Cheryl back there. Susan's been unconscious for 17 hours, and Cheryl, I think she's having another smoke out there. So, I'll give it to you. You're smarter than Susan and Cheryl, for sure. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know when 30 is going to come, but a lot of you are very, very negative about this team, saying it's not going to happen until August.
July 31st.
It'll be the next quest. Next quest for the Rockies. They were, by the time they got their second win, they were 1-7. They were 1-7, and they beat the Athletics after losing the series, but they beat the Athletics 12-5 to go to 2-7. So I'm looking for a better start than 2-7. That would be nice. That would be ideal. Once they got their third win, they went 3-9. The wins became very, very, very difficult to come by. They didn't get their 10th win until June 2nd, which means we went through March, April, May before the Rockies got into double digits. I don't know what to make of this team. I feel like, on one hand, Mike, they could be this young team. They have an analytics team now, viewing pitching a very different way. And it could just be like, hey, these are kind of the lovable losers of baseball. They're going to find a way. They have a couple of stars. But nationally, even Hunter Goodman, I don't know that Hunter Goodman's on a lot of people's radars nationally. So for us, they got a couple of guys, good players. I don't want to say stars, but good players. So I think, yeah, when they win games, Toronto fans just absolutely pissed when they kept, panning over to the crowd. There's that part of me that thinks they could be this lovable loser type team that wins games they're not supposed to. And they're just pesky for a while. There's the other part of me that goes, is this all sustainable? I don't know. 4 games in. Mix and matching your pitching like that, that's fair. Because Kyle Freeland only pitched 4 innings on Friday. You saw the same thing yesterday for Sugano. Chase Dolander wasn't very good. I'm not out on him by any stretch. I think Tanner and I were talking about it earlier. He's either going to make people look silly with some of his pitches, or he's going to look silly with some of his pitches. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. I told Tanner yesterday, relax. The bus had a low tire. Put some air in it and get back on the road. That's the kind of win that makes you want to get back on the road. All right, Mike, give me your prediction. Rockies are going up against Toronto tonight.
Predictions in hour 3. Everybody knows that.
No, nobody knows that. Nobody cares about your picks. I do, for the simple fact that you're so bad at this that the opposite of what you say will come true. That's why
Brady,
nobody cares.
This is elite picking.
Yeah, it's not.
You don't
elite
know
picking.
How I do it. It's so backwards. It's elite.
Who pitched last night for the Rockies?
Seneca Wallace.
Yep, there you go. I just wanted to double check. I just wanted to make sure that
everybody
knew. I can't
remember their names.
This is why you're not allowed to have your own pick segment, because your guy, who you said was your guy, you literally talked about him 48 seconds ago, and I asked you who pitched last night, and you said Seneca Wallace, who I believe was a quarterback in the NFL.
He was quarterback in the NFL. I think he was drafted by the Seahawks.
I think you're 100% right. Good job on that one. But no, this was awesome. And then the Avalanche scored.
Should
9.
I be picking now?
No, you shouldn't be picking now. Do not pick now.
Oh, so final segment.
No, do not pick in the final segment either. I want you to tell me casually. I don't want you to make it a big thing. Get your hand off that button. It's not an epic thing. It's not epic. You don't get a pick. Fine.
You know the Rockies.
Oh, gosh. You can't build up like
that. They were
so
good.
Build up. We have a bunch of no Kings rallies going on in the country. I am the king. You should be rallying against me because I'm the king of epic and the king of buildup. You cannot match that, Mike.
Freddie, the Rockies are really good. They're 1-4.
You keep it going. I'm saying lower your voice. You kind of come into it slow, man.
Freddie.
Hold on. Let me get my socks off. Keep going.
Freddie, if the Rockies keep going in this direction, if they keep losing 3 and winning 1, they will win 25% of their games and be the worst team of all time. But I don't think that they will do that. Unfortunately, tonight, I think the Rockies are going to lose a game. And they're going to lose this game 9-5. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Oh, God. That was terrible. Awful. You got
I'm the
it.
Smartest
it.
Person in this room.
Yeah, again, you're not competing with much back there. They honestly, they're like Milton. We fired those two gals years ago, and nobody told them about it. They were just receiving a check. We fixed the glitch, Professor.
First of all, if you're comparing me to Milton, I'd say thank you. Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist.
I was actually comparing Susan Sherrill to Milton from Office Space, and you took it that way. So that's on you, buddy.
I'm taking it that way. I would like to be compared to Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize-winning economist.
Nobody knows what that is. We know what Milton is from Office Space, okay? You're in a different world here on the whole show, man. We're playing a different game. This isn't, you know, pocket protectors and calculators. This is sports, man. This is damn good sports talk is what it is.
I just want to let you all know that the Rockies will lose 9-5
tonight. All right. There you go, everybody. If this happens again, no competition. If this happens again, great. Faith says Susan and Cheryl have left the building. That's the thing; they don't really leave. They've left a little bit more since Michael took over back there. That's a sad thing because they didn't leave for anyone. So, is it a cologne? Is it the donut thing?
They're busy flirting with me, and I'm like, ladies, come on. I have a job to do.
Is it the donut thing? Maybe they're like, oh. Ooh, this guy, a little crazy. But what a sixth inning for the Rockies. You get a home run from Johnston. You're getting walks all the time. Fulford singled to center. Castro doubled to right. You get Fulford and Doyle scored. Goodman got to third. Tovar doubled to center. I mean, it was 4-1 to start that inning. It was 2-1 Rockies. I'm watching closely. Okay, it's 4-1. All right. This seems pretty cool. The Rocks are doing good. And you got a pitching injury or whatever, and you get a pitching change for Toronto. So I go outside to take the trash out, come back. It's 7-1. And then it just kept going from there. That was fun. Fun to start the season for the Rockies. And good for them. Good for Warren Schaefer. But I'll tell you. You know, Mike, last year, the Rockies got their second win in the second game of the season. They won 2-1 against Tampa Bay. So, probably should have grabbed a win or two against the Marlins over the weekend, but just couldn't do it. It's all right.
It's just a warm-up.
It's a warm-up. Seems going to be red hot the rest of the way.
It's a warm-up for their loss tonight.
Oh, no, they're not going to lose.
9-5.
No more picks. No more picks. In fact, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good was the scoring affair. Not just the Rockies were doing it. The Colorado Avalanche are. And you know what was cool about this? It was Nazem Kadri's second old team. His first old team. Well, I guess third old team. I read a couple of posts yesterday about, you know, wait, can Nazem Kadri find his fit with this team? Is he going to find his way? Well, he had a pair of goals early, and the Avalanche just didn't stop. They beat Calgary 9-2, and they are doing their damnedest to make sure they lock up that top spot and keep Dallas far and away, even if Dallas beats them. On Saturday, April 4th. The bad was probably, you know, if you have to take bad from a game, it's probably Chase Dolander. You know, we all want to see this guy succeed, but certainly last night was rough. Even though it was almost a perfect night, he was kind of the one blemish for the Colorado Rockies, but they get it done. The ugly for me. Why does ESPN hate Nikola Jokic? Why do they hate him? Monica McNutt and a bunch of other people. Don't even know their names anymore. Talk about the MVP race. If you go look at the MVP ladder, the race, it goes Wimby, Shea, Joker, Luka. Who were the top three talked about and only talked about this morning around 5:45 on their ESPN basketball segment? It was not Joker. Not even a mention in there. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. Not even a minuscule, like, yeah, he's also in this race. No, he's out of the race. He's not winning the MVP. I'm not saying he will. But to say he's not in the top three, or at least, at the very least, can acknowledge that it is a four-horse race for the MVP. But they're acting like Joker's out. He just got named Western Conference Player of the Week. But he's out. Okay, fine. 24 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I got some old CSU football news. A former CSU coach moving up the ladder at his new place. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado's Voice, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get bounced in the first round, or will they make a serious run this postseason? Find out with us and listen to every game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Will former CSU coach Jay Norvell find some thunder with his alma mater, Iowa? He was hired there as an analyst for the Iowa football program, but that didn't last because he got promoted. He got promoted pretty quickly. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins Coloradoan reporting that Iowa promoted then analyst Jay Norvell to Iowa's running backs coach. So cool. They added Norvell to their staff in February. He takes over the running backs role after Omar Young departed for a role with the Raiders. Another interesting tie in there because Jay Norvell was with the Raiders. He's got a history with the Raiders. Michael loves that. Iowa announced Norvell's move to lead running backs on March 30th. It's interesting. Jay Norvell's more of a wide receivers guy. He literally wrote a book on wide receivers. So I'll be curious to see how he does in this role. It just had me thinking last night, like how this ladder is so entertaining, a coach's journey, because you got Jay Norvell, who played and was coming up the ranks and then got his job at Nevada. He was the head coach there. He was pretty successful enough to get the CSU job, which was a better job, but it was a lateral move within conference. And he's still climbing. And how's he going to be? And he hit the struggle bus with CSU, and then boom, you just fall off that ladder and you go back to square one. And I mean, that's the tale as old as time. We see it with some of the great coaches, some of the greatest coaches. Bill Belichick had that. A lot of your great coaches had that. And so now Jay's trying to work his way back up. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if he'll ever be a head coach again. If he was 10 years younger, maybe so. But I just don't really see it happening. It's not that I don't think he's qualified for it. I still think it was just his time with CSU was perplexing. Because when he first was hired as the coach, his assistants came over, and I should remember all the social media marketing, which was fascinating. It was a breath of fresh air because that was not Steve Adazio's way. Even though he was the guys being dudes dude, he didn't do a whole heck of a lot of that. I mean, he sang some songs during COVID. That was a weird thing. God, we should find that. They sang, it was like it was a Billy Joel song that Steve Adazio and his coaching staff say. Anyway, I digress. But when Norvell came over, it was all this. It was Fort Air Raid, and you know, Matt Mummy, the son of Air Raid, and all his assistants getting out on the field, and Fort Collins, are you ready? I mean, it pumped me up, man. It was great. So you're thinking, all right, they're going to go the complete opposite of what Steve Adazio was. This isn't going to be a run the ball. And hope to play decent defense. It's not going to be that. And it really was more of the same. It was better. It was better. But it was more running the football. And I stood up for that because I'm like, you go with your strengths and you recruit who you can. And if it just so happens your running back room and your offensive line are better than your quarterback and your wide receiver rooms, then that's what you do. But even talking to my guy, Matt Mummy, who joined us a few weeks ago, who was awesome, by the way, you know, he and I have talked about it. It's like, man, I would have loved to see what could have happened if we could have stayed in that air raid mindset. Because even Mummy said it, like when he was hired by Norvell, he even told him, he's like, I am just air raid. Just so you know, I am air raid. West Coast offense, anything else, that is not me. I'm air raid. So again, you know, and I love Matt Mummy and I got a lot of respect for him, but it did kind of make my brain go to what was he doing there? You know, he was coaching quarterbacks and he was the offensive associate head coach, and then he got his role kind of changed up, and then he was calling plays, and then he wasn't. It was odd for him, and I think deep down, he's very complimentary of Jay Norvell, and rightfully so, even off the air, just absolutely all the respect for him and all the respect for CSU. But you could tell there's a little bit of that, what could we have been if we would have stuck to that core philosophy? And, you know, I don't know. You could have been great. I felt like what they had was an okay defense with a pretty solid rushing attack. And to go away from that would have been tough because they never really had the quarterbacks. I mean, Clay didn't work out. Braden Fowler Nicolosi didn't work out. And then, of course, Norvell hitched that wagon to BFN. And that's a tough thing to do, man. Not just in this day and age of NIL dollars and all that jazz, but just basically saying, you know, we're going all in on this quarterback, for better or worse. We're going to air it out that he was being poached and he's worth this much. And we believe in him, and he's got a great attitude and all this. And then shortly into the season, he's benched. You're in a no-win situation sometimes. Now, we know when we have sure things at quarterback. You just know. I mean, I think for CSU, I don't know if you would say Stevens was a sure thing, but like Garrett Grayson, going that far back, felt like one of the more sure things at quarterback for this team. That's when you hitch the wagon, man. Not when you've had a couple of really good moments and crazy games, and then you've also had a bunch of weird moments and bad games, and you also said a few things that, you know, especially around CU, that probably turned out to be negative because you didn't deliver, and then you double down. Texter here, Aaron, it didn't seem like Jay Norvell was a huge fan of the current college football landscape. I can see him trying to get back to the NFL. Yeah, probably a position coach there. I could see him doing that. I don't see him being a head coach again. Yeah, I don't think he was a fan of NIL. I think he embraced it more so than some of the old school minded coaches did. He might have been reluctant, but I think he tried to embrace it. Not like basketball. Not like Medved, not like Ali Faroukmanesh, and probably not like what we're seeing with Jim Mora. Jim Mora is an older, but doesn't look it, and he seems like the kind of guy that can roll with the changing of the tides, obviously, because of what he just did at his last school. Yeah, Faith, you heard. That was great, wasn't it? Faith said, what a pleasant surprise. I'm just working away, and I hear my boy's voice. Yeah, that was a good rejoin by Miles. But you don't have that good of a voice in studio and not get him to cut something for you, you know? Right, Mike? Miles was fantastic on that.
I need him to cut more stuff.
Bring him in.
Would you like to be an intern?
Bring him in. Not for you, though. I don't want him to be an intern for you. I don't want you to, like, set him up for failure. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you to teach him bad habits. You know what I'm talking about. The donut debacle of 2026 and...
Oh, now I'm going to start bringing in donuts.
The other debacle of 2026 and then, and the other debacle, and that debacle, and that one. Oh, and now we're at a baker's dozen. And then, of course, all the crap that happened in 2025.
Miles, free donuts if you are a an intern for KFK.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Norvell thing was I really thought it was going to work out until even like his most positive season. His most positive season was when you started going, I don't know. Because we all know they won games, and it was a really, really down year for the Mountain West Conference. Really bad. I mean, you had coaching changes early on in the season. Good teams that were typically good were bad, and they didn't happen to be on the, you know, with scheduling, they didn't have the top few teams in the Mountain West that year. But they took advantage of it. But I think even the powers that be knew, well, we're going to give him another shot here, but this is it's all the pressure on to next season, and he better start out pretty hot out the gates. And he didn't. So good for Jay Norvell, man. He was always great on the show. I loved talking to him. Can't say we had like a close relationship. It was just, hey, can we get him on the show? He was on the show. He was gracious. Boom. I wasn't getting letters like the Denver media was getting when he was on. Still sour about that, Mike. Why am I so sour about that? Is it jealousy? Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Because it's like I'm out there at practice and I'm watching these coaches and I'm making CSU a part of my daily dialogue. And I could tell you, man, Denver media, they didn't know anything about Jay Norvell and his football team when they interviewed him. But yet he's sending a letter like, thank you for the coverage. I'll tell you, that part bugged me. Because you take care of the people that take care of you. And I don't know why, but that still bugged me. Maybe it is a jealousy thing.
I think...
But I'd
CSU
expect
basketball is a little more aware.
I'd expect if I suddenly score an interview with Nikola Jokic, right? Which we're still working on. Mike has got his best minds on it. If I score an interview with the Joker, who never does radio, he does random Serbian podcast. And if I scored an interview and I get a letter from him that's like on Twitter, which you don't think he has, thank you, Brady. This was amazing. If I were Denver media, I'd be a little pissed off too. Not jealous, but I'd be like, dude, Brady's never here at practice. He's never putting in the work and the time to see you, which I am. I'm sitting on my couch with my beer in my hand. That counts. I'm studying the game just like you. Just I don't have a lanyard. But I'd be rubbed the wrong way too. So I don't think it's a jealousy thing. I think it's like, how did he get that interview? And why is he so damn gracious about it? So that was my one beef. And also, taking points off the board. You don't take points off the board, Mike. Who was that against? It was early in the season. Oh, come on. It's going to drive me insane if I don't know this answer. Who was it against? It was, they go down, BFN had been benched, and you're rolling down, you're getting some momentum. You go and you tie the game. You kick the extra point and you tied the game. Was it UTSA? Was that who it was? And the field goal was good, but there was a penalty on the defense, on UTSA's defense, and then you lost. Yes, it was UTSA. Because Fowler was benched and they lost 17-16. So I'm thinking, gear up, we're getting ready to go to overtime. And it just didn't happen. So that's my beef. That's a couple beefs. I think he overthought some things. I think he really did. 43 minutes after the hour, but I do wish him well. Aside from worshiping Denver media that one time and, you know, taking points off the board, I think he's actually a pretty cool dude. 43 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, quick question for you, Mike. How much pressure is on Jared Bednar in the playoffs?
Moderate amount.
Really? For as good as this season's been? And as epic as your, you know, I want to see how Kale McCarr's doing and everything too. Obviously, I don't think it's serious, but he was rolling in that game. He had a couple of assists, and then he goes out. Keeler writes in his article in the Denver Post: should Avalanche extend Jared Bednar only if he gets past the second round of the Stanley Cups? Is what he's saying. What do you think? I just text. Keeler.
I don't disagree with that.
We're gonna have him on in the 1 o'clock hour. Normally we do Wednesdays. But we got the Rockies tomorrow, so I want to bring him on about that. You know, you remember last time we had this conversation about pressure on Jared Bednar, Mike? Remember where we were last time? You know what happened?
They lost.
No, they won everything.
Are we talking about pressure in the playoffs when we were talking about that?
Jared Bednar better make it past the second round at least, or you know maybe the Avs should look for somebody else. And the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. So you know what I say to that? Bring the pressure on. Let's talk about it. You want to give him a contract extension today? You would?
I would like him to get to the second round.
It comes up at the end of next season. So you've got this year and you got next year, but you know he doesn't want to go into next season as a lame duck coach. So the decision's probably going to be made this offseason. And it might really depend on how they do here. I can't imagine. Bednar's been there so long now, I can't imagine the Avs without Bednar. But then again, I thought that about Michael Malone. Things can change quickly. It's been a historic type of year, Mike. They've pretty much ran their division from top to bottom. From the beginning of the season to now, there was a couple of little blips in there, little glitches, but nothing major.
If the Stars weren't so good, it wouldn't be so close. Like, the Stars are very good. It's a close second.
Yeah, but it's like the Avs are at 108 and the Stars are at 100.
Yeah, but it's still pretty close.
It could happen. You could have a stumble. There's, what, 9 games left? You could have a stumble, I guess.
But the Stars would be leading the league if it weren't for the Avalanche.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
right,
good
but that's what I'm
these
saying.
Two teams are.
How much pressure is there on the Avalanche? And they're probably going to run into the Dallas Stars. That's probably how it's going to go.
I'm worried about that.
Yeah. But is it a Kansas City Chiefs type of thing when they were in their heyday? And it's like, yeah, but you can't beat the Chiefs. Nobody can. I don't know.
The rest helped the Chiefs.
There you go.
Texas, El Paso.
There you go. 11:51, the time is waiting for that. We'll take a quick break here, wrap up hour number one, top stories of the day. The NBA's got some drama. They got some stuff. We'll talk about it. It's a deep conversation, so don't go anywhere. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
You're every single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Top stories of the day. We got a Tiger Woods update. Pretty rough story going on with the NBA and a certain player that maybe you've heard about this yet, but he got in trouble for some of the things that he said. And, let's just say he's no longer playing basketball, at least today, because he got political. He got religious. And we'll talk about it. I'm willing to unpack this because, you know, the NBA has been this all-inclusive thing. You know, your religions and your sexual orientation and all this, this does bring to light an interesting conversation about, well, when does one cross the line? We'll talk about that coming up next in Top Stories. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.